Oh, you know what? I can block the user. Bam! Boom! You've been blocked! Troll busting. Bam,
troll
I can do that.
Busting.
I'm not afraid to bring out that hammer, son.
He's got his proton pack and everything. He's troll busting. The troll buster.
Well, there's something strange on the YouTube link.
Absolutely awful.
No, in the tuber hood.
The tuber hood. I like it. Welcome to episode 34 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I'm actually still recovering from some bad sunburn, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com. And here with us tonight, we have a special guest, if he would like to introduce himself.
I am totally Jason Lamb. I am not a special guest. I don't know what Bailey is talking about. I am the Canadian news editor for One More Castle. And this beard is totally not fake as well.
Excellent.
I'm Eric Hunter.
Are you really?
I am.
Totally not Eric Hunter.
I am totally Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer. And where I'm going, we don't need roads.
Oh, nice reference.
I thought
like
it was
rails. Like regular rails?
Yeah, when you always go off the rails. So where
I always go off the rails?
Well,
wait a second here. I'm the sane one on this podcast. Yep. Did I compare the Apple Bandai Pippin to the Sega Dreamcast?
No, that's true.
Did I say I don't like Mega Man?
No.
Only totally Jason Lamb did.
Holy crap, you're right.
Yeah.
Totally Jason Lamb is the insane one.
Yeah. That's the world we live in right now. Right now.
Canadians. What are you going to do?
Crazy Canadians.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have you, Jason.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, as always.
So, speaking of, as always, you guys played any old video games or what?
I'm curious about what Jason's been playing.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I have actually been on a platformer kick recently.
Really?
I'm sorry to hear that. There's a first for everything, right?
Yes. I have been playing Donkey Kong Country, totally not for the umpteenth millionth time. I also finished Panner der Hedgehog. That was definitely a very cool game. Very short.
You might want to explain what that is.
Panner der Hedgehog?
Yeah.
You've never heard of it?
No, I've heard of it, but I'm curious about our audience. I'm sorry.
I've never heard of it, so.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Panner der Hedgehog.
What's Hedgehog? What is it?
Sega, what?
Panner. You know Sega does what Nintendo don't, right?
Oh, yeah. And
you shut your blasphemous mouth.
Panna.
Sorry. Please continue, Jason.
The third cousin twice removed of Sonic the Hedgehog. He is purple and has very jiggly spikes. And the game, Panna der Hedgehog, is actually a mod of Sonic the Hedgehog for the Sega Genesis.
Of course. How do you spell that name you're saying?
PannaderHehog. Panna der Hedgehog.
Huh. Okay. Are the jiggly spikes an important feature?
Yes, because you are mesmerized by the animation of the said jiggly spikes, and it makes the already brutally difficult platforming sections even more difficult.
Well, I guess there's nothing like a Sonic game with brutally difficult platforming sections.
Oh, this one definitely is very brutal. The level design is quite devious. More so
just
than...
Just like you, totally, Jason.
Yes.
Just
yes.
like you.
Just like me.
Totally, Jason.
Totally.
Totally. Totally.
Don't tell anybody. Totally. I've been playing the greatest NES game that was ever designed.
Oh?
And that is... Tengen's Skull and Crossbones.
Nice.
Awesome game. Like, huge sprites. You're a pirate that's going after a wizard who's taking your girlfriend. There's sweet cutscenes. Unbelievable.
It's probably the best pirate game of all time.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, all right, yeah.
Sid Meier's pirates, you know?
Well, why would you want to play a game with huge sprites that just gets in the way of the action and you can't see the rest of the game?
What's that mean?
It depends on the game.
No, it's amazing. That's not bad. That's good. That's real good. Big sprites are good.
Do you fight ninjas?
You do, actually. So it's like the second or third level where you go to Japan, and they're not only ninjas, they are ghost ninjas. Very important.
Yep.
They go through walls and shit. Zombies. It's amazing. Robot zombies, really.
I'm sorry, that was too far, I guess.
Cross the red line.
That's what I do.
Great game. And Mortal Kombat. I've been playing Mortal Kombat.
Also a great game.
Yeah, I got. I realized I did not have Mortal Kombat 1, 2, or 3 on the Sega Genesis.
What?
So,
did you only have like Ultimate MK3 or something?
No, I didn't have any of them. So I know, it's
you just gotta shake your couch hard enough, and one of them will fall out. You know,
they're not that popular. Not that. I mean, it's not like it's
pretty popular.
Super Mario Brothers
pretty
or
pretty popular.
Clue Land or
Tubin. Well, we're talking about Tengen Classics.
I just bought Tubin. I got nice. Tubin complete in box.
Tubin is
you showed me that.
I did. Showed you a lot of things.
So how does the console port hold up to the arcade? Because I believe I've only played the arcade version.
For Tubin, it holds up really well, actually. It's a nice transition, in my opinion. I like Tubin.
Still go down the River Styx.
Oh, yeah, and the River Yukon, and the River Jurassic, and the one on Mars. And
the Arctic.
I can't say that when we were hanging out at the Midwest Gaming Classic, Tubin probably got the most people coming in wanting to know what we were playing.
Yeah, definitely the most curious people.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And Battle Kid came, brought in
yeah,
a lot of people.
True. Punch-Out was popular.
I remember that little kid, he came in, we're like, oh, you want to play Battle Kid? He's like, no, this looks really hard. Yeah, like, you know what?
That's great.
It is. It's really hard.
Yeah. You're right, kid.
There is an arcade game I have been searching for years that I cannot remember the name of it. You play as this guy in like this orange jumpsuit and white crash helmet.
Golden Axe. No, just kidding. Sorry, that was wrong. No.
And the object of the game is to run. It's a side-scroller. You run down these hallways, jumping over obstacles and hurdles and rolling barrels, etc. And there's a time limit. And you have to reach the end of the track or hallway before the time goes up to continue to the next level. There's like little pools of water you can jump over. There's little springboard you can launch off of. There's like slow patches of gravel that will slow you down. There's soda cans that you can either kick or, if you're really good, jump on top of them to get bonus points. But I have been searching for this game for 10 years, maybe.
Wow.
I do not know what the name of it is.
I'm not familiar. Hopefully a listener will be, but yeah, I don't know.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it's weird. I just remember playing it a lot, and it was really fun and really hard. And it was also sort of fun when you get to the end of the level, depending on how much time you had left in the timer, the guy would either sort of kneel over and pant, or he would do some sort of big muscle beach guy pose if you finish the level with a lot of time left.
That just sounds like
cruising
Hunter's
USA. Today?
No, not quite.
I am not familiar.
I have been kind of busy, so.
Oh yeah, Bailey, what have you been playing?
Not much, but I did manage to squeeze in some Tecmo NBA basketball the other night.
Nice.
Which is always a lot of fun. The NBA playoffs are on right now, so it just got me in the mood, and it's always fun to throw in that vintage Pacers team with Rick Smits and Vern Fleming and all them. I used to grow up watching and play against Michael Jordan and other great players, and like you can pretty easily get up to 300 points a game. I mean, it's really grueling, long
games.
This
is like the Globetrotters? Is that who you're playing as? The Globetrotters?
No, because the opponents do pretty good, too. They hit 75% of their shots half the games. So it's a lot of fun. I like it.
So it's like 300 to 250 or something?
More like 325 to 275. Not that it makes a huge difference.
You know the NHL playoffs are going on as well.
True. And being in Chicagoland, I got all kinds of teams to root for and all sorts of playoffs this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Jason Lamb would know all about that.
That's true.
I would.
Being from the Great White North, you know, hockey capital of the world as a whole country, who's your rooting interest? Totally, Jason.
I'd say I'm rooting for the one that's winning right now.
That's a pretty cool team.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of them.
Like, the only updates to get from the NHL playoffs are from Septicore and Drive for Six, which is the added XP. Boom!
Yeah, added XP.
Yeah.
Boom.
Those are the only updates I get on the NHL, and I believe that they're biased. So
of course.
I don't really trust what they're saying, but that's the only information I get.
Yeah, I know we have two or three contributors to One More Castle, I think, that follow hockey. I think Paul and Pierre both might. I could be wrong on that, but...
You are.
Okay.
I know Mr. Tom Hall used to follow the hockeys quite a bit. I don't know if he still does.
No, he's really angry with...
Yes,
the NHL at the moment.
NHL
so.
Lockout, so...
Yeah.
And he did swear off hockey for a while, and I think he's gone back to it.
That's funny, totally, Jason. I did not realize you were so familiar with Tom Hall.
Oh, yeah. We go way back.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Fair enough.
Rage.
You guys ready to tackle a listener email discussion question?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Here we
totally.
Go. This is a part two. So if remember last week we had Prime from the Down 2 For It X podcast. I still need to check that out. He started to check us out from joining Retroids.com podcast network. And he congratulated us. It was really nice. And he had part one last week, and we decided we can get him 2 weeks in a row. That's fine. So here's his question for this week, number two. Discuss games that you've played that are epic or have a huge scope in spite of being retro and old school. For example, Earthbound or Rocket Knight Adventures. Just games that seem vast and awesome in scale. Prime.
It is a good
think?
Show.
Yeah, you told me that, and I still didn't.
Just throwing it out there. It's a good show. Totally, Jason Lamb likes it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the wrong direction.
These guys. Totally, Jason Lamb?
I'm going to have
your answer, totally.
Very cliche with this one and say Ocarina of Time.
Cliche that is fair.
When I first played that, and especially the point which is completely cliche. You get out into Hyrule Field. That was just, I was absolutely magical. Bored. Of course, it seems much smaller now.
Yeah.
At the time, it was like, how, it's going to take me forever to run across this field.
And it did. It felt like it.
Well, and then with the day going to night and night going to day as you're traveling, it just makes it seem that much longer.
Yeah. Especially back when you were still mystified by these nighttime enemies and you felt the need to fight them all. And
yeah. Fun. Yeah, you didn't realize you could just ignore them since they were too slow to keep up with you.
I agree. It's become kind of hipster chic to chic. That's funny. It's kind of downplay games like Super Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time nowadays, but really they were magical. Like when you played it for the first time ever,
oh yeah.
To have that experience back again.
Or the first time I encountered the Re-Deads.
They start humping your face and screaming at you and you can't move.
I had to stop playing the game.
That's frightening, like pants-peeingly scary stuff.
Very.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Ew.
those things were freaky, especially the scream.
Yeah, the scream was pretty rough. I'll say that.
Yeah, even as a teenager, I was like, oh, God, oh, my God.
I could say Mega Man X. For the only reason of the dash.
Cool.
To me, the dash brought something so much different and unique to the whole platforming game genre. I mean, the fact that Capcom put the dash button right next to the jump button rather than the, you know, you can double tap forward to do dash, but they gave you the A button to dash too, showed that it was a defensive and an offensive technique. Now, I'm sure there's been a lot of games that's had the dash in the game, but for some reason, in terms of the Mega Man universe, it was so completely different. Because like when they brought the slide in for Mega Man 3, it was the only reason you'd use the slide is because the level made you use the slide.
Yep, thin little passages.
Yeah,
but
with the dash, I mean, the fact that you could be in a boss battle and be on the right side of the wall and dash jump to the left to avoid danger, mind-boggling.
The dash jump was amazing. It's like the roll jump in Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It completely took whatever you thought you knew about the game and turned it on its head. Like
that and the wall.
Whole new dimension.
Absolutely.
The wall
like taking
jump,
a red pill.
Dash jump.
The red
Hunter,
pill.
Have you heard anything about, sorry. Have you heard anything about Mega Man X Corrupted?
Well, I did just hear about it today.
Me too. That's
So that's what I was referring to of putting the game on my list of games to play. Yeah, so I'm subscribed to his Facebook group or whatever, so I mean, it looks great. I think it's, I mean, if the way the programming language that he's using has been used before to make remakes of Mega Man games, and they've played perfectly, so I have high hopes for the way it plays. But if it's just a bunch of crap thrown together to be like a all crazy Mega Man X, if there's nothing new, it's going to be a waste of time.
He needs to take lessons from the guy who made Panda Hedgehog in level design.
No, he's right. Panda Hedgehog is it in terms of just the game. Yeah, I mean it's a remake of was it Sonic 3D? Basically, it's the same kind of engine or
Sonic
whatever it is. Right. But in terms of actually designing levels and making them challenging, but not like crazy difficult, like Contra X, if you remember playing that, Bailey, where it was just stupid, just absolutely stupid. Oh, stupid. Absolutely stupid. Stupid. I'll say it again.
What is it? Is it dumb?
It's a little idiotic. I take that back. It's stupid. Oh, it's stupid. No, whoever designed those levels, it was mind-boggling. Like, they felt like a legit, let's get a team together, let's make a game, this is what we've designed kind of a game. It's a great remake.
And the intro sequence is also mind-blowing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think you've both hit on an important idea that a lot of people tend to lump mods into one category. When really, even within mods, I mean, there's good mods and there's bad mods. You can mod well. You can have a good design and a plan behind it. Or you can just mash a bunch of random Mega Man bosses together and call it a fan tribute. It might not be as good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think fan games, or however you want to label them, when they actually take the game and try to make something different with it, they're using it more as a platform to continue on with their game development career, rather than somebody who's just got free Sundays and they're just jamming a bunch of crap into it. You know, like somebody, I'm trying to think, a good explanation would be Streets of Rage Remake, where they took they built it from scratch, the entire engine, and remade all of the Streets of Rage games essentially and put them all together. Like, that's, they've got a future somewhere if they keep doing it. That's what their ultimate goal is. It's not just to push something out.
Not just hit copy-paste on a couple of cool-looking level formations and call it a day.
Right. Bailey? Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I feel like my answer's kind of lame now. But
it normally is.
Anyway. That's true. I thought NES-obsessed Nintendo fanboy that I am, I really like the way the game world opens up in Super Mario Bros. 3, whereas prior, in the original, you had Mushroom Kingdom. And sure, it had multiple castles, and like this level was in the dark, whatever. You could go underground. But Super Mario Bros. 3, you were going to what felt like entire new countries. You had desert land and giant land, and you had one that went into the sky, and there's lava over here. And it really Right. It really gave the Mario canon, the Mario universe, a much broader sense of size. The other one I had in mind was Kirby's Adventure, which I think went hand in hand with being such a technical achievement for the NES. Going up the Butter Bridge Tower, whatever you want to call it, and like actually seeing it spin on screen.
Spiral tower that actually spins.
Yeah, that was just, even as a kid, you could recognize that was pretty cool. So you really felt like a sense of height there. And then you get to Orange Ocean, and yeah, definitely another sense of you're moving from country to country. Like, if you're overly imaginative, like I was as a kid, you could think there's millions of citizens that live in these places, and you're interacting with their homes and these tyrannical dictators that are holding them under their thumb. And
or in the case of Kirby, you're just brutally murdering all the citizens and destroying all of their caretakers and
eating everything in your path, bringing the dream to an end, yeah.
Basically being a menace.
Kirby's disturbing if you think about it too much, or even a little bit.
He's very disturbing.
I like Kirby.
He's adorably devious.
The most adorable serial killer of all time. He will straight up eat your family.
I mean, Kirby's Adventure for the Game Boy was mind-boggling when I first played it, but I think the game I put the most time in was actually Kirby's Pinball.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
That's a different game?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't do anything different than any other pinball game. You know, like, you doesn't have any idea of what, you know, pressure sensing and that kind of thing by how hard you hit the button, because that's just how it was back in the day. But I don't know. I don't know if it was just the fact that I knew the characters and I enjoyed the universe, that I liked it so much that I wanted to play a pinball game in it. I put a ton of time into it, though.
That was me with Rollerball, same thing. No idea why I played it so much.
By the same reason I played Sonic Spinball more than any other pinball game.
Weird. The mystique of the pinball game.
Mystique.
Allure?
Another word from the thesaurus that goes with what we're talking about.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one.
Yep.
Cool. Any other thoughts on big game worlds and stuff?
Yep.
Totally.
Excellent. Yes, totally, says Jason Lamb.
Totally.
Well, let's take a music break. Flashman by Mega Beardo, an electric guitar tribute to Mega Man 2. Good stuff. But now it's time for what our listeners know and love, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, though, this is the part of the show where each of us is going to pick an old video game. Secretly, we don't know what each of us has chosen. We have 1 minute to introduce it, and then we're just going to argue about who picked the best game. But the most fun part is that you, the listener, get to vote in a poll on the podcast page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. 2 episodes ago, Hunter, can you guess who the winner was?
This guy?
This is for Light Gun Week. No, it was
Totally Jason Land with his cop-out virtual cop. Yeah.
Virtual cop. Beat out Hogan's Alley and Gangster Town. It was a pretty close vote, but he did clearly win.
Totally.
And, yeah. For tonight's showdown, we are going to continue our kind of newfangled tradition of when we have a special guest... Which or totally have. Not. No theme tonight, so it's a free-for-all. None of us have any idea what of the thousands upon thousands of retro games we're going to choose from. So if Totally Jason can put a minute on the clock for me, I think I'm ready.
You may begin.
Thank you, Totally Jason. Tonight I'm reaching back to my childhood for a game I got... because I love the series it's from. It's actually a PC game in honor of Jason totally being here tonight. It is Atomic Bomberman, the 1997 release from Interplay, known for such classics as Battle Chess, Mario Teaches Typing, and Clay Fighter. Atomic Bomberman is like Bomberman Extreme or Bomberman Hardcore. It's crazy. It's more challenging. The AI is brutal. The gameplay is fast. The animations are zany. It's all multiplayer. There's no, like, any one-player solo quest. You can have up to 10 Bombermen on the screen at one time. You can customize your own levels. The winner gets a power-up. The power-ups are similar to the 16-bit era Bomberman games like Mega Bomberman or Super Mario Man. It's a great game. Atomic Bomberman on PC.
Boo!
How are you going to boo Bomberman? Come on.
I was booed when I brought Bomberman. That's all.
Well, okay.
So, just throwing that out there. Totally Jason Lamb, would you like to go next?
I thought I normally go last.
Well, I am totally willing to make an exception, totally, right now. That's the worst beard I've ever seen on a man. The absolute worst beard I have ever seen.
I think it was in the shampoo. There was something in the shampoo or something. It's acting really weird today.
Something in the shampoo.
It's all twitchy or something.
Okay. Well, you can still go if you want.
All right. Set a minute on the clock for myself. My choice today is Lego Island for the PC. Released in 97, Lego Island is a first-person, open-world, non-linear adventure game. Basically GTA with Legos. There are 5 playable characters, each with their own unique personalities and abilities. In the game, you can build and race various Lego vehicles, complete side quests, or just explore the island. There is also a hidden story sequence in which you have to find pieces to the island's helicopter in order to stop the evil Brickster from disassembling the entire island. Lego Island also has a killer soundtrack, simple yet complex, fun, charming, and truly a one-of-a-kind experience. And there is a button that makes the plants spin around in a little pirouette. Lego Island.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 7. Okay. Lego Island.
Okay. It's my turn.
Yes.
All right.
Assuming totally Hunter's ready for you.
You may totally ready. Just let me know when I can go.
You may begin.
So I did something a little different this week with my Retro Showdown picked. I actually picked an arcade game, mainly due to the fact that it's the definitive version and a 2D fighter. Yes, I would like to introduce to you the bloody, the horrific, and amazing gameplay that is Time Killers. Released in 1992 by the Incredible Technologies, Time Killers is a weapon-based fighter that pits 9 combatants from different time periods to battle to the death. One of the great aspects of this game is the ability to control which corresponding body part to attack on your opponent. The more damage the limb receives, the more likely it is to get cut off. Damage also shows through over the time of the battle on the character rather than a traditional health bar. Some matches may only last seconds if a player is able to chop off the head of their enemy, ending the round. It's Time Killers. 8 seconds over. You tell that bitch to shut up. Time Killers!
I think you just time killed right there. That was definitely sticking it to the female voice of the timekeeping application Totally Jason is using.
Totally Jason.
Wow, where to begin with you guys?
Time Killers!
Time Killers! Didn't that get a Sega console?
Mortal Kombat meets Quap.
Meets what?
I didn't hear any of that.
You said Time Killers, you get to control specific body parts?
That you attack.
So it's reverse Quap.
Sure. Is that good?
I don't know. Is Quap good?
I don't know. Yeah, if you think it is totally Jason, then yes. Totally.
I don't know. Are there taxes in it?
No. So he wouldn't like it.
Well, then he wouldn't like it. So there you go.
It's kind of upsetting now that I think about it. Time Killers.
Lego Island. Revolutionary game.
No, it's not.
No, it's Grand Theft Auto with Legos. Congratulations.
No, okay. Can you walk up to pedestrians and beat them to death?
No, you can walk up to pedestrians, and depending on which character you do, when you click on the pedestrian, they will do a torso flip and either change their color, change their hat, or change the way they're walking. NPCs will also talk to you as you walk up to them.
Okay, but in Grand Theft Auto, you can walk up to like some little old lady and just beat her to death. You see the difference there? Like,
Well, it's Lego, man. Like, they had to dumb down the engine.
No. He said it was basically the same.
It was GTA with Legos.
Let me ask. In this Lego game of yours, are there prostitutes?
I'm not sure.
No, there's not. But see, in Grand Theft Auto...
There are definitely prostitutes in Grand Theft Auto.
Why would you want...
There are...
When you can have characters like Bill Ding or Laura Brick or Mama Bricolini.
Well, see, I'm not familiar with any of those characters. I am familiar with prostitutes.
Or are you now?
And here's the thing, it doesn't, what I want isn't really relevant. What's relevant is your argument that your game is basically the same as Grand Theft Auto. I'm just demonstrating that's not.
No, it's better than Grand Theft Auto. It's Legos.
Are there narcotics?
Legos makes anything infinitely better.
That's not true. It's not like robots or rocket pants.
I agree. 100%. 100%.
Legos harness the creativity contained within every human being. And Legos allow you to unleash that creativity.
One could argue... You know what? Never mind.
No, please.
No, I've beaten the point into the ground. I'm not going to keep naming stuff.
Plus, if you press the Z button, all of the plants and trees on the entire island...
You mentioned that. The pirouette. Yeah. Why would I want my plants to pirouette?
Yeah, why would I want to do that?
Why would I ever want to do that?
Why would I want to be totally Jason Lamb? That's a silly question. I totally want to be Jason Lamb. Totally. But please.
It also had, also similar to GTA, it has a licensed soundtrack, including music from The Torpedoes, I Think I'm Gonna Build a Bridge by Annie Walls, and the legendary country song Brick by Brick by Kathleen Enright.
Who are these people?
I don't think that's
I have
a
no idea who
song.
These people are. Like,
well, totally, then, Jason, you have the loosest standards for legendary. That's, yeah, oof.
I mean, God forbid if you would have picked a game that they've remade 1,000 times, like Bomberman. I mean... It's identically the same game every time. They bring nothing new.
Atomic Bomberman is so different. Like, if you sit down and play it once, you'll immediately be like, whoa!
Because it has atomic bombs in it?
There's nothing atomic about it, except for the fact that it's on a DOS machine.
It's made out of atoms. I mean, all video games are atomic, if you think about it.
I'm just saying, like... Okay, I know this is something that we say on this podcast quite a bit about rehashes and remakes. We do, right? Totally Jason's with me.
Yeah.
Okay. But Bomberman.
Notice I'm not going there.
Bomberman, you want to talk about a series that has literally not changed since, what, 1990? And they just keep bringing out new releases? Like, just because you throw a storyline into it doesn't make it a new game.
No. Atomic Bomberman has no story.
Oh, so
I mean, like,
worse
even
worse than
the original Nintendo Bomberman has a story. Bomberman 2 has a story. All the other Bombermen have a story.
So
Atomic Bomberman
is worse.
No, there's just no story.
Then I want to take a poll.
You hate story.
All right, I want to take a poll right now on everybody who's on our live feed. How many of you have played the story in Bomberman and not the multiplayer? Anybody? Just give me a hook me up.
Played the story in Bomberman for about 5 minutes.
Exactly. You want to know why? Because it's boring. It is completely boring. There's no strategy.
Not.
It's nothing but
what?
Luck. And no
You've
Bomberman game has been able to fix that.
Have you? Okay. Honest man-to-man question, Hunter. You're a Sega guy. Have you ever played through the story mode in Mega Bomberman on Sega Genesis?
No.
It's good.
Is it?
You should try it. Yes.
Is the gameplay like everything else?
Yeah, but in the story mode, the levels actually scroll beyond the screen. There's enemies that can overlap different parts of the level. You interact with the environment. There's enormous bosses.
Super Bomberman's that way.
Right.
What? No. You just, what's
feeling
what,
to your
Sega
what
do you mean?
You? Okay, go look at you. I mean what I said. It's good. You should try it.
No, it's... No. No.
Well, I guess there's no accounting for taste, is there?
Well, don't get me wrong. I love Bomberman. I love Bomberman.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
If you really loved Bomberman, you would love the Bomberman story.
No, there is no story. Oh, I'm a robot, right? He's a robot?
Is he a robot or is he a clone?
No, he's a robot, and he wants to be human, right?
In the first one.
At least that was the first one.
Yep.
Okay, and then I think all the ones after that were just, they wanted to be the Bomberman. They wanted to be the number one Bomberman.
So if you're not the Bomberman, what are you, a bomber person?
Yeah, you're like bomber dude.
Bomber guy?
Bomber bro. Bomber guy, I like that, yeah.
It's just terrible. Terrible.
Bomber surfer dog.
What? Bomber. All I'm saying is that Bomberman is, and I've got a perfect example of this. So me and the wife have played Bomberman for the Super NES. That's the one I got. That's the one that we play quite a bit of. We go to a friend's house with another friend of ours. We throw in Bomberman for the Wii. Okay? So what's the time span are we hearing? Like 15, 20 years?
Give
what do you think?
Take.
Okay.
Sure. Yep.
She beat us. Me and my three friends have been playing Bomberman since we were 15, 14, and the wife beat us.
Sounds
it
like
wasn't
really
because... Well. It wasn't because she understood the game better. It was the fact that we played Bomberman for the Super NES, and she used the exact same strategies for Bomberman Wii and beat us. I can't think of any other game in the world that does that. I can't play Mortal Kombat for the Super NES and then pick up Mortal Kombat 2011 and still be able to do the exact same things I've been doing. Was that,
why not? What's, really? Are they that different? I was just going to point.
Absolutely. Really? I don't know. You were doing the Vulcan thing, so I thought we were going to be one of those guys. We could do, we got any Vanilla Ice fans out there? Vanilla Ice? No? Okay. Sorry. He was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too. You know that, right? Okay, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that's.
Belly power and all that. Yeah.
There you go.
I know the turtle rap. I got my 90s street cred on me.
I'm just saying, I really, and I've been meaning to say this for a while, I can't think of any other series.
I hate to say it, but Super Mario games.
I was just going to say, Super Mario games.
Super Mario Brothers. Super Brothers Wii.
The two-dimensional side-scrolling ones, Super Mario
okay.
Games. You have the run button,
Mega
you have
Man
the jump
2,
button.
Mega Man 9.
Oh, no. No. Did you not hear the discussion question? The whole dash? The whole idea of dash?
Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10 don't have a dash.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the X games. I'm talking about.
I'm just saying, they're still part of the Mega Man series. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
No.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions.
So there's the Mega Man games, and then there's the Mega Man X games.
Where he's like snowboarding and. Skateboarding and the Mega Man X games.
Nah.
Half pipe. All that. Yeah, I don't really care. You know what, Hunter?
What?
Sorry. Time Killers
has
some of the stupidest character names I've ever seen.
Such
Joshua.
As?
Have you seen this?
Who? Who were you talking to?
Yeah, who?
I'm summoning a fourth spirit here, sorry. Totally Jason, have you seen this?
I have not seen Time Killers.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You should try it. It's amazing.
It has a character named Thug with two G's.
Yeah.
Because if you wanted to be cool in the 90s, you had to misspell something.
Lord. Oh, yeah, we're using the little punch, the little... accent on the U there to make it sound all fancy. And
we have Mantaz.
Leaf.
No, the mutant praying mantis. Rancid. Right. There's a good one.
Yeah, Rancid is known to be kind of like the character when you talk about time killers. Kind of like how Liu Kang was from Mortal Kombat or Ryu was from Street Fighter.
That's interesting. Cool.
Yeah, Rancid.
Matrix? Son of a bitch. Matrix is not a name.
Sure it is.
Matrix?
Oh, okay. Wait, well, okay. So Matrix isn't a name? Hold on. So Matrix isn't a name? But Lady Gaga is a name?
No, it's not. I think that's
no, stupid. No, it isn't.
Lady Gaga.
But yeah. She is more well-known than Time Killers is. She's more well-accepted.
Just because something is well-known does not mean it's good. If you say genocide or Hitler, lots of people know what
you're
talking about.
Why do you always go this direction? It's awful.
Because I always go too far. And
every
I always go
time.
To the maximum extent.
Every time.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Oh, Alloy Fresh. You do have a sunburn then, don't you?
I'm telling you. Like, this is like 3 days old. Like, you see this?
Gross.
Right?
That's gross.
It was 2 days ago. It was very painful.
Are you eating the dried skin?
No, it's really gross. Oh, only someone like Rancid would do that.
Or like totally Jason.
Yeah. Totally Jason would eat his own skin. Ugh, he's gross.
Totally.
That's all I'm saying.
So how do you pronounce thug when there's two G's in it?
It's thug. Still thug.
No, it's gotta be like thugga. Thugug.
Thugga? There's an A? Come on.
Thugga. I was wrong. I got that wrong.
It's thug, yeah. Thug.
No,
okay,
G-mon.
Here's the beauty. Here is the absolute
the beauty of thug. What's
that
the beauty
is,
of thug?
Here's the beauty that is thug? Time killers. Killers. Okay. Time killers.
It sounds like a waste of time.
No.
Oh!
It is not a waste of your... You shut your mouth Slutter totally, Jason down. Lamb.
Totally shut your... Totally.
So time killers has a beautiful feature that is called instant kills, where you can literally win the fight in seconds.
Literally. At least you're using it properly.
Thank you. All right, that's what I was waiting for. So anyway, and so what they did was they took the ideas from Mortal Kombat and they took the fighting style from Street Fighter 2, and they made it possible so that you can perform a fatality or something like a fatality at any point in the game. Any point in the match.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But here's the kicker.
Is how do you aim at any of the specific body parts when this is a two-dimensional fighting game?
Excellent question. I am glad you asked that, totally, Jason Lamb, and I am more than happy to let you know how this works.
More than happy. Not just
let's
happy.
Just... Exactly. So let's just take a traditional 2D fighter, let's say Mortal Kombat. You have high punch, low punch, block, high punch, low kick. Okay? On Time Killers, you have right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg, and head on the buttons. So when you go to attack your opponent, when you hit, let's say, left arm, they are going to attack the left arm of the opponent.
So it is basically reverse quap.
I don't know what any of that means. So is it... No,
it
absolutely
also
not.
It sounds obnoxious.
You don't know what quap is.
The hell is that?
Do you not know what quap is?
What is it?
Quap?
No, I don't. Spell it for me.
No.
Q-U-O-P.
Q-U-O-P.
It is a flash game that a... Is it a professor or something?
Oh, okay. I've played something similar. It wasn't the running, but it was they were climbing up
You have to run, and you have to use Q-U-O-P to control
the runner.
Different parts of his legs, and you had to tap them in
whatever order
of succession. And it is a horrible, horrible game.
Yeah, that's because this is a racing game.
It's not even a race.
This is as bad as track meet.
All racing games are horrible.
Track meet's awful.
World class track meet is pretty bad.
No, this is nothing like that.
Also, the graphics and time killers look like Dragon's Lair.
Oh, hold up. Were you guys trying to make fun of Atomic Bomberman's lack of story and how Bomberman's story is always recycled? Is that something you guys were trying to do?
Well, more or less just the gameplay, but yeah, we can go for story if you have a point.
But here's the thing. Totally, Jason, you said that the story portion of LEGO Island is hidden. It has a hidden story sequence. Why would you hide the story?
I can tell you.
Because it's more rewarding when you find it.
No, because it's awful.
That's stupid. Yeah. I'm with Hunter on this.
No.
That's weird.
No.
It's awful.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
No, if you want to spoil the story,
you get
a phone call from a supposed cop who wants a pizza delivered to the jail. So you, as this innocent little kid, deliver the pizza.
So Hotline Miami, continue.
The story will only activate if you play as Pepper, Pepperoni.
Wait a second. Wait. Your character's name is Pepperoni?
Pepper, his first name is Pepper, and his last name is Roni.
And it's a guy.
It's a
boy.
Okay.
He was adopted by Mama and Papa Bricolini.
Hmm.
So you're this innocent little kid, and you deliver this pizza to the jail. And if you had previously built the helicopter on the helipad next to the jail...
With all those missing helicopter pieces that the Brickster hid or whatever.
No, you have to build the helicopter first, because you have to help the police out by rebuilding their helicopter on the helipad that's right next to the jail.
But I don't know how to build a helicopter.
And then the guy calls you and wants to go bowling...
No, he calls you and asks for a pizza. So you think that, you know, this is
that's,
a cop asked for a pizza. So you bring the pizza over to the Brickster. He melts the jail bars and escapes in the copter, steals the master brick, and starts disassembling the entire island.
That's nothing like Grand Theft Auto.
No, I'm not happy with
nothing.
It.
Nothing. You just, yeah. Totally, Jason, you are off your rocker.
I thought we had already clarified that at the beginning of the episode.
Oh.
Well, it needs further clarification, my friend.
No, I think we're good with that. That's upsetting. It's very upsetting.
It was also a technical achievement in that the draw distance, you could see one end of the island while standing on the complete opposite end of the island. There was no N64 fog or anything.
But who's going to notice
you
that?
Draw distance.
No, I mean, okay, let's, all right. Who is going to notice that there's about the draw distance? I mean, realistically, would a traditional player, what is he doing?
Showing off my draw distance.
But no, would a traditional player even realize that?
They would when they hit the Z button and all the plants and trees on the complete opposite end of the island all started twirling.
Did we ever discuss why that's important?
Nobody cares about the twirling plants. All right?
No, it's an Easter egg. It is an awesome Easter
egg.
No,
they're plants.
That is not an Easter egg.
Eggs are not plants.
No.
The only game
hitting
with eggs
a button,
are plants, Kid Icarus, eggplants.
Hitting a button on the controller to do something is not an Easter egg.
It's a keyboard.
It is not. It's in the instruction booklet.
Well said, Hunter. Well
said. It's a keyboard, so there's a lot of buttons, and not all of them do anything. So...
anyway.
So you draw distance. You like my draw distance? I can draw pretty long with this.
This is getting out of hand.
You're getting out of hand. Hunter, I just have one last thing to say to you about time killers. You said that it has this oh-so-innovative mechanic of targeting specific body parts, right? Right? You said that?
Yep.
Okay. Question for you.
Sure.
Has that mechanic become particularly popular in the fighting game realm?
Absolutely.
No, it hasn't. You're
yes,
lying.
It has.
Meaning Fallout?
Yep.
In what modern tournament popular fighting game can you target specific body parts?
Well, it's not
a valid answer, nor is it even a fighting game.
Well, anything's possible in this day and age with indie gaming. But one of the... It's not very well known. You might have heard of it. Maybe Mortal Kombat. Have you heard of Mortal Kombat? The newest Mortal Kombat that was groundbreaking when it comes to sales uses this exact fighting setup. So
that the exact same fighting setup?
Well, I mean, if you want to get very particular, which I'm guessing you do because you got that look
always
in your eye because I can see it.
You know my particular look now?
I do. I do. I'm just still waiting for you to call me.
Well, I'll work on it.
Derp, derp. Draw distance.
Hey, Lego Island has achievements.
Oh, achievements. Let's talk about achievements.
It was time.
Give me 15 seconds to talk about achievements. So achievements is all of the rage when it comes to gaming nowadays. Yeah, because that's what I want. I'm going to work my ass off to get to a certain part in the game just to get a badge or an achievement that means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. It is a waste of time. You want an achievement?
Waste.
You beat the game. That's your achievement. You just journey through the most beautiful thing ever made by man. That's your achievement. Not jumping on something. Not walking backwards. Ridiculous. Absolutely
killing
ridiculous.
Killing the same guy 50 times.
Hands in the
nothing.
Air. Achievements. Come on.
Achievements. Come on.
Are you kidding? This guy. Over
totally
there.
Jason.
Totally Jason.
I can't be held responsible for how people go for achievements or view achievements.
You're not even responsible to begin with. You couldn't hold responsible with a 13-gallon bucket.
You know what I have to say to that, Bailey?
What? Bingo dingo. Final
Booyah.
Arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for your game?
Everybody, I would like, should vote for Time Killers. Because Time Killers was innovative. It was fun. And it was cut short of its time because of all the bigotry and all the politicians that were trying to push away good games because of violence and gore. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. All right. Totally Jason. Final argument. Why should anyone vote for your game?
Because Legos unleash the creativity in all of us and make the world a better place. And Lego Island was the first Lego game to ever be made and is probably one of the best Lego games. Featured endless customization, a giant world to explore with hidden secrets, an interesting storyline, 5 different playable characters, each with unique abilities, personalities, lots of activities to do, and had achievements before the whole world had achievements. And there's a button that makes plants spin.
Oh, let it go, dude. Just let it go.
What a dork.
The best part about that is nobody has any idea who you're talking
to. Oh, good. Ooh, I was close there. How about me? Why should you vote for Atomic Bomberman? Well, let me tell you. The draw distance is perfect. You can see the entire landscape at once the entire time. You can customize the levels, and when they gave Interplay the responsibility to develop it rather than the usual team that would do the console games, they decided, let's just do away with story altogether, focus 100% on the multiplayer, and make it insane. Atomic Bomberman is crazy, hardcore, to the max. Word to your mother. There's your Vanilla Ice reference.
Thanks for playing.
Fine. I guess.
The level editor?
Yeah?
That's pretty cool.
Okay, thank you. Yes, you can interject with something.
That's pretty cool.
Cool. All right, I do have a couple shout-outs I want to include tonight. I want to shout out Retroids.com. We're getting some new listeners there, so that's cool. Check them out. Join the discussion forum. Participate in the chat room. Maybe even live stream some score chasing if you want. They got some high scores going on. Our interlude artist, Mega Beardo. Quick little secret, I don't think he was even in this week. I just kind of slotted him in because I listened to his track and I really liked it. So there you go. Check it out on the podcast page. Download it if you like it. And my Twitter shout-out this week is New Wave Traders. It's just like it sounds. New Wave Traders, three words, smashed together on Twitter. They have a website. They sell things, kind of vintage-flavored. Always have tempting stuff. I almost bought the $15 Mario Paint complete set today. They always have really cool items there, so just check it out, newwavetraders.com.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. How about you guys? Any shout-outs?
Totally, Jason.
I would like to give a shout-out to at JoshuaKaleb75.
I can't get over the beard. I cannot get over the beard. It's the worst beard ever.
I'm sorry. I'll use different shampoo next week.
It's the worst.
It's around your nostrils. Like, how do you do that?
It's driving me crazy.
It's unbelievable. Like, please continue. Like, please. By all means.
Like a fur coat for your nose.
You should check out at JoshuaKaleb75 on Twitter. He does some really awesome stuff. In Retrospection podcast, he's doing Monkey Madness on Twitch, playing through all the Donkey Kong Country games. He also writes the Retro Hate column on One More Castle.
He does.
I like that column. It's a good column.
It's really good. Yeah.
I read it myself.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was good.
That's it? Just good?
Yeah. It was very good. It's a nice little hating on the retro stuff, you know. If you really love something, you gotta, you know, give it a little hate now and then. You gotta tell it its problems.
That sounds like some genuine insight into his column. Thanks for that, Toby, Jason. I appreciate that.
All right, well.
Yeah, Hunter, how about you?
Hey.
What do you got this week?
So this week, you can check me out on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net. Let's see. I reviewed Spiral Knights today, so you can check that out on iamericm.com, where I review indie games for the console gamer. Mm-hmm. And my shout-out also goes to Mr. Joshua, who is the absolute worst when it comes to playing games on Twitch. Just downright awful. Thankfully, he's not here to defend himself.
Yes.
But he's just... Unless if it's Donkey Kong Country, he has no idea what he's doing. No idea.
I've watched him on his IR Gamer channel, and he is horrible at video games.
The worst. Huh.
I don't know why.
The absolute worst.
I wonder how much of his retro hate column is due to him just sucking it up at video games. I hate this. I really suck at it. That's really funny. Oh,
we may have stumbled onto something here.
Yeah, I am his editor. I'll have to drop him a concerned note about that. I'll see what I can do. But yeah, in all seriousness, though, totally, Jason, thanks for spending time with us tonight. I know we had got an email saying you'd be really busy tonight. Didn't think you'd be able to make it, so to see you here was great. So thanks for making it. Thanks for
I
showing down everyone.
I'm on the podcast.
That's why we love you.
So whatever shampoo you're using, let us know so we don't use it, because that's awful.
Yeah.
Next week.
I'll send you an email. It's
perfect.
It's terrible.
All right, next week, Jason, I want that normal facial hair back, okay?
It should be back. I plan on bleaching this stuff out.
Are you going to go blonde?
Wow. Really?
Okay. I'm blonde to get it out.
Wow. Well, okay, cool. You know what?
If
you do it, I'll give you $50. Like Canadian, loony, whatever it is. If you bleach your hair blonde, come next podcast recording, I will give you $50. PayPal.
And
straight cash.
Jason, if you don't bleach just your facial hair, I'm going to make fun of you ruthlessly next podcast recording.
And I'm going to make fun of you ruthlessly just because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
It's one of those things.
Three boneheaded goofballs talking about retro games. That's us being jerks to each other. If you want to follow me on Twitter for some reason, you can at Nintendo_legend. Otherwise, please keep checking us out at onemorecastle.com. Follow us on Twitter at onemorecastle. Facebook.com/onemorecastle for exclusive retro discussion questions. But perhaps most importantly, listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.